been able to produce this event. All this process with the book began like 5 years ago. I was thinking what I would do for my 50th birthday, and I said I would like to take advantage that I have sold quite a lot of artworks by Fernando Botero and many other artists as well. So I approached him and I said if he authorized me to make a book of the works that I have sold. He says, as long as you don't ask me for favors, you can do it. I will not contribute. I will not give you anything. You have to do it by yourself. So I went with my program, and actually it took me almost these 5 years to produce the book, and when I turned 50, the book was out. That was a nice way to celebrate. I hired a person that has done with him at least 40 books within 35 years time of the artist, and she helped me a lot in organizing the project. And Fernando said to me within a couple of the conversations and meetings that we have, because I was updating the book to him, that before going to press, he would like to see it. And my deadline was due, and he had to see the book, and he saw everything, and first, when he saw the article, he says that the article is very clear and unique, and he was honored to have those expressions from my side. And then he sent an email asking to remove 13 personal pictures that I had with him in different stages of our relationship. And I agreed to remove 10. Mm-hmm. Three remain, because this was already something that he was demanding, that it was not actually spoken. And the presentation of the book in Bogota took place February of last year, and the book went to press January 17, 2 weeks before the presentation. So imagine how stressed I was, and how stressed the printing people were, because the book was printed in Italy and the presentation was in Bogota, and I had to take the book there and first show it to him in a private event that he did in his house in Medellin. And I had to accept all this because it became a project that I wanted to accomplish, especially that it was the date already set. He gave me even the place and time where it has to be. And I was very happy because we are here today. We don't know what will take place in tomorrow. And Botero is not a young person. So I'm very honored that the book came out in his lifetime. So everything that it's in the book was corroborated by him. And he came to the event, which was a very nice, successful event, sorry.
Okay, I would like to go back to Felipe before the book and before Botero, and at some point in your life, which is very interesting to read the book because of all the autobiographical features, you switch from whatever you were studying and you decided that you wanted to work with art and to sell art. So why don't you share some of your early memories, and if you remember, what was the first painting that you sold?
My passion since I was very young, about 10 years old, it was art. I was going to galleries with the driver of the house and going to museums. I grew up in Bogota, Colombia. We didn't have much of cultural events that took place over there. And I was thinking that one day when I grew up, I was going to become a collector. Then around the time of my bar mitzvah, I asked my parents, why don't we buy art for the house? Because we had no art, and I knew people already that they have art, and I was kind of jealous. I said, how come they have and we don't have it? So my father took me to one of his gallery's friends in Bogota, and he bought two paintings from Colombian artists that we chose together. So I was very happy that at least we had something in the house. No more family photos or gobelins, what the grandmas used to stitch and have it in the walls. And I studied textile marketing and management in Philadelphia. And why that? Because my family had a textile business. But while in New York, in Philadelphia, I was going to New York very often to see the cultural activity. That was the opening eyes for me. Once I returned to Bogota, by coincidence, I met a woman who she asked me if I'm able to get her an artwork for a collector that she was looking for. I said, I have no clue. I have never done anything like this. And I might know where some pieces are, but I don't know. Give me like 15 days and I'll find out. After 2 days, I found the piece that she was looking for. I went to the gallery. I said, I have a client. Imagine, I was 21 years old. They couldn't believe me. And I asked her if she could lend me the piece because she knew my father. So she lent me the piece and she gave me the price. Actually, it was $24,000 in 1986.
Wow.
And the woman that asked me, she says, okay, I will give you from the cost a commission of 5%. That was very nice, almost $1,200 in commission in one deal. And actually, I said, this is it. And I start selling art.
But then, when did you start to focus on Latin American art? Because I think, you know, at the age of 21, you know, how do you then decide to focus?
Yeah. The first impact was the Colombian art. That was my environment. So I became knowledgeable in Colombian artists. Those were the artists that I was selling at the time. And then I knew that this was not the only art that the people will look at. The Colombia is one country out of many in the world, and the art world is very expansive and constant expansion. And I start focusing on Latin American masters, artists that already had a career that I didn't have to speak for them, that their work will defend themselves. And that was something that I found easy because if you are trying to sell a young artist, you have to help him in build his reputation or career. And I didn't find that appealing to me. And I concentrate on the Latin American masters of those days, the Mexicans, the Brazilians, Venezuela. And that's how I began moving to different levels of the art world.
And when did you become interested in Fernando Botero's work? Why?
I think Fernando Botero was one of the first artist that impacted me when I was growing up, because he already was a well-known artist in Colombia. Besides that, he already had exhibitions worldwide, and he was like a celebrity. And it happened that I liked his work, because everything that I deal on, buy and sell, I have to like it. I have to give to the client the same feeling that I get, I have to transmit it, the passion that I have for the artist, for the artwork, so I'm able to defend myself and defend the artist, because it's something that is already like in me. It's not that I will create stories, because the stories are already there.
Now, you know, looking at the book, which I find very interesting, it's very also very personal. The way you talk about Botero in those early years, like, it really comes across that you were this very, like, a fan, like, you're looking at this idol, and then you had to kind of perhaps negotiate a bit or not with the, you know, dealing with the celebrity. I wonder if there's more you can talk about that.
I can say it was like that. I was with the idea of following him wherever he was going. And I used to call the galleries that he worked with and find out where he was going to have his next exhibition, and I just show up. I just ask my father, please, I need money to travel because I'm going to a Botero exhibition in Belgium, and I would like to see the artworks, and I will maybe find a client that would like to buy something. And I just show up to these events, and he never looked at me. Of course, I was no one at that time, and who was this young guy that suddenly appears in my shows? So at the beginning, then I would say the first maybe 7 years, he didn't even acknowledge my presence. I was like another one of the crowd.
So when did he become aware of Felipe Greenberg?
I would say after 10 years that I was following him. So he one day approached me and he says, okay, so who are you that I see you in my events? You have not talked to me yet, and I see you around, and I see you at the dinners, and I don't know how you managed to do that. So I became friends with the gallerist, and I asked them to invite me, of course. It was not that they invited me out of the blue, but at the same time, I was buying and selling. So it's not that I got it for granted invitation. I was already moving his art. I was buying from the galleries. I was selling to other dealers, to other galleries. I start selling to collectors. And so then he says, okay, I hear that you are buying and selling my works. So who are your collectors? So I told him more or less who were they, because he wanted to know where I was selling his works. And it was like he knew that I was following him, and he loved that, but he make it difficult.
But then the irony is that you became the person that has sold the most Boteros ever. Like, how did that happen?
This story was sent by him, because I had no idea that the other dealers that sell his artwork have sold less than me. When my book was ready, and I was going to present it, a journalist in Colombia asked him that he knows that the Botero book is going to be released very soon, and he would like to get some insights. And Botero said, as far as I know, with the information that Felipe have provided me, the people that I know he has selling, Felipe have sold the most amount of any other dealer. And he couldn't believe it, because he says, how come you have sold so many when I have sold to you only 20% of what you have sold? I said, because since you didn't give me a possibility to buy from you directly, I was moving the secondary market. So that's something that he really liked, and he said it publicly, which was something good for me. I was not able to say that in the book that I presented in Bogota here, and all of you are going to get one.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yay.
Thank you. I reproduce like 390 pieces, and I have sold more than that. But there's pieces that I have sold a couple of times. They came back to me and I resold them. So I cannot reproduce the same image five or six or three times in the book.
In terms of your relationship with Botero, what would you say would be your most exciting or interesting anecdote? Which one do you remember the most?
I think I could write another book just for the anecdotes that I have with Fernando. I will tell you a nice one. When he had his exhibition in a Palais de Pop in Avignon in 1992, I was there, and then he said, I would like you to come with me to Pietrasanta. That's in Italy, where he produces the sculptures. He told me that in advance, like 2 weeks in advance before the trip, so I was very happy. He says, you know, I travel in private plane, I rent them, so I would like you to come with me. I was thrilled. So he invited another dealer from Rome and another dealer from South Africa. The three of us, with him and his wife, we flew together from Avignon to Pisa, and then we drove to Forte di Marmi, where he lives, near Pietrasanta. He said, okay, go to the hotel, change, relax, and I'll come back and pick you up in half an hour because I'm going to show you around. After we came down for that private plane, he came to pick me up in a Fiat 500. This is a small Fiat that costs maybe $5,000. It's an old Fiat. He came driving by himself, and we went around, and he showed me the foundries. He showed me Carrara, where the marble is coming. And at one moment, my film finished, and I was in panic attack. How come I cannot take more pictures? So I said, Fernando, I need to buy a film. He says, okay, 1 second, let's stop here in the store. He came down of the car, he bought the film, and he gave it to me. And we continued like he was an old pal at the moment. So that was a nice experience. The next day, he invited me to go to the beach, where he has a cabana all summers. He goes there for 40 years, every single summer. So he's well known over there. And so he says, okay, go and change and put your bathing suit. So I was thrilled that I was going to go to the beach with this Hollywood star, my star. So I even told him at that time, I feel like I am with a Picasso of my generation, because I was very young. I had only 7 years old when Picasso passed away, and I was not even around to knew that I was going to be an art lover, an art dealer, and a passionate of the arts. So that's a nice anecdote that I had with him, one of many.
I also wonder about perhaps the business side of things. You know, in the book you mentioned that you took some business classes at some point, but then it became quite handy when you started actually dealing the works. I wonder if...
After the textile marketing and management studies in Philadelphia, I came back to Bogota and I studied business finance. So, of course, that was something that helped me in my life. But I even think that after finishing school, I was going to end up working so fast. The last year of the studies, they encourage you to work in the day work in the day and study in the evenings. And I was already traveling during the weekends. At least I went 4 times to New York to buy art, because I already I was selling. And the studies of the finance, of course, helped me as well. And this is how I have been evolved and doing business in 30 years.
So is there anything in particular in the business side that you feel that you learned from being close to Botero?
Many things. He is a dragon. Doing business, he's a very savvy person. He's very smart. He knows how to deal with each one. He will never, if you go to his studio to choose something, he will let you know what you can buy, not what you choose to buy. So he's always in control of the situation. Doesn't matter if I know him, and I have been with him many, many times and within the years, and I have been traveling with him to so many places. There's always a learning experience, and something else is that I learned that with all the success and fame and wealth that this person has amassed, 17 years ago, he thought that he was going to pass away. He was not ready to turn 70 and thinking that he was going to survive. So he decided to donate his entire international collection, plus some pieces of his personal collection, Botero collection, to Colombia, to two museums. So in the year 2000, two museums were open with his collection. At that time, the price for the artworks were around $250 million. In today's market prices, the collection that he donated, it's about $1 billion. Jesus. They're not going to be for sale because they're in institutions and they can never be loaned or moved. So I have learned from him generosity as well. You have to share, you have to help. It's not you have to, I like it. Okay, and I, with my partner Eduardo, we help institutions here in the country. We donate to museums as well. And of course, not in the same level as he did because I don't have those means yet. Hopefully one day, I don't know. But it's actually excited when you can give back. And this is something that he does. He gives back.
Actually, today, you donated some works to us, to Pam, which is great. Now I just want to say thank you. But I do find it interesting what you're mentioning about how he was very much in control when, you know, saying this is what you sell, this is what you don't sell. Because some art dealers are actually the opposite. They're the ones kind of like trying to set market trends and trying to push certain artists forward in order to make sales. So I find it quite refreshing that the situation was the other way around. He was almost guiding you to...
Yes, not only me, he will decide what goes where. If I get there to his studio and say, I would like to buy these five paintings, he says, no, you can get three. He will never let you buy whatever you want. And he just say, okay, I'd like to have this still life, this painting, figurative, and this landscape. No, you get one landscape and one figure. And not only with me, that's... He has been doing this with all of his dealers. Of course, when he's preparing a show for sale, there's variety. So the dealer that is in charge of the exhibition for sale has access to more pieces that are going to be available for the market.
Then, in that sense, I feel like, you know, curators, we have a different type of role within this system. Like, what information do you think a dealer needs to know that a curator doesn't need to know at all?
Let's say we deal with numbers. In curators, they don't have to. They just have to deal with the physicality of the artwork, how the artwork speaks by itself, how it will relate to the other pieces in the context, how the art can transcend frontiers with the other artists that will be presented in the same exhibition. For dealers like me, we don't have to worry about that. I am more in the commercial part. Of course, I like to help in the placement of the artwork, because it has to go to a collection, or not even collection, because there's people that they get one, two pieces, and that's it. But they appreciate what they have. So you have to guide them what to acquire, how to acquire, also where to acquire, because the information is not there. While curators, they don't have to focus on this. They have to be present more in the intellectual part, how the work is going to transmit the message to the audience, how it will look in the exhibition, and how can you talk about and write about the artist in the context that you are talking.
In the book, you mentioned that many times you have kept work in your home while some business deal gets finished or closed. And so that you learn to live with them, and when you have to give it back, of course, you miss it. Do you remember any particular item or sculpture or painting that you really felt very sad about giving to the buyer?
I lived in my parents' house in Colombia for many years. This is something very Latin. You don't have to move out of the house. And actually, my parents' home and their walls was my gallery, because I have been always working as a private dealer. I have an office here in Miami where I live. But before, the gallery was my parents' home, and I used to bring the clients there. So since my father bought the two artworks for me, but actually for the house, when I was 13, since that moment, I have lived surrounded by art. It's very difficult to come to a place that you see empty walls. I feel kind of lonely, it's a little sad. And of course, many experiences, even at the beginning, there was a painting by a Colombian artist who already passed away. His name was Alejandro Obregón. And the painting was maybe $10,000. And it was the very beginning of my career. And I wanted to keep the artwork. And I knew that I couldn't, that I have to sell it. And I found a client, and the painting lived. But the day before that departure, I remember I sat in the living room of my parents' house with my father, and we stayed long hours talking in front of the painting, and the next day the painting lived. That was, of course, part of the experience. And that was a sad moment, but a happy moment.
How many Boteros do you have in your private collection?
I have about 20 pieces. I couldn't hold more. And through my hands, not only Botero have passed, I had the many important artists of the 20th century. I had the Basquiat paintings that I sold for $300,000, when today those pieces go for $40 million. I had Picasso paintings that I sold for $2 million, and they are worth today $25 million. I had and sold Andy Warhol, Liz Taylor for $1 million, and that painting was sold at auction in 2007 or 8 for $32 million. So I couldn't hold to those troves, but I am very happy that they came through me, and I was able to place them in nice places, and they are still there. People have not sold them even though the prices have increased tremendously.
So can you talk a little more about the difference between like an art dealer and an art gallery? Because, you know, mentioning auctions.
A gallery has to promote artists. They have a physical space. And what is to promote an artist? Is to make exhibitions for the artist on a regular basis. What is regular basis? Maybe every 2 years. You have to have kind of agreements with other galleries worldwide to place the artist in different countries, different venues. You have to talk to the museum curators and pursue them to buy the artists that you have for the museum collections. While an art dealer like me, we can sell whatever we want. So I don't have any limits in which artists or what kind of level I can sell or approach. I don't have to promote an artist. That job is being done by the gallerist. That is the main difference.
Can you also explain a bit about the secondary market?
The secondary market is very enthusiastic.
It's very what?
Enthusiastic.
Very what?
Enthusiastic.
Oh.
Is there where you can find really beautiful pieces? Because sometimes the artist at a gallery is so hot that you cannot get them. People fight to get the artwork from the primary market, that means from the first exhibition. But within the years, not everybody can hold to what they have and they have to sell it. That's when people like me goes around and try to find and buy and move the inventory in a different level. The market has changed dramatically because the auction houses now are participating very strongly in this theme. Now they are proposing different kinds of goodies to the collectors in order to get the material to put it for sale. But this is something that was done by private dealers like me, or even the primary galleries trying to buy earlier works from the same artists from periods that they didn't have access. So it's very interesting to move the secondary market. In my case, 80% of the works that I have sold from Botero came from the secondary market. Not directly, because he have not sold to any of his dealers in his 60-plus year career the amount of works that I have sold. That's something that brought his attention when I was able to show him what I have done actually behind the scene, behind his back.
It's true.
Would you have done anything differently in terms of your relationship with Botero? Is there anything where you said, metí la pata, or, you know, I did something wrong?
No, I don't think I would have done today something different. He complained always that I was not a gallerist, that there was no reason for him to sell to a dealer, because if he sells to me, it goes directly to the collector, while if it's in a gallery, a lot of people will look at it. So he encouraged me many times, why don't I open a gallery? And I said, I don't think I was born to be a gallerist. I don't know, maybe one day in the future something will change. But the modus operandi that I acquire, it's a way that has been proven for me that is good. I'm happy. Of course, you cannot change the past. There's many things that you would like to change from the past, and not only in the relationship with Botero or art dealing, but many aspects of life. But we have to be present and always look forward for what we can do today. We don't know what will take place tomorrow, and whatever took place yesterday is gone.
And I mean, earlier you mentioned how different the art market is from, you know, 30 years ago. What advice would you give to an art collector?
Art collectors, they have to have someone to trust. They have to identify themselves with a dealer, a gallerist, a curator, an advisor, but someone that they can rely and get the full information, because most of the collectors, this is not their main focus. They have business and they don't pay full time and attention to what I do on my daily basis, 8, 10, 15 hours per day. And you have to get advices from trusted people. You have to ask, always ask. Let's say if there's a piece at auction, the auction house might not tell you what is the condition of the painting unless you ask. So you have to always ask. There was an article on the New York Times last week, front page, about a hedge fund manager that last year he made $100 million just in commissions. His name is in the article, and he talks about how he made a mistake by going directly to the sources and cutting corners, and he ended up buying a $600,000+ in fake artwork. So he said in the article, his word mistake was to cut what my people say middleman or person that they might add a commission to the artwork, but this commission is very well represented by the knowledge or information that you can provide to the collector.
Now that you mentioned fakes, very prolific artists like Dalí or Picasso and even Botero are known to have been faked. So what safeguards do you use, and what can you recommend a potential buyer?
Every artist that commands high prices value in the market, he will count with fakes in the market. There's nothing to say about it. There's always people there trying to fake and make copies and sell them at a very high value. You have to protect yourself by studying the artwork, by doing research, by have someone that can you can rely and ask to do the research for you. Even though you are buying from a trustworthy gallery, there's examples, big examples that is taking place right now with galleries in New York that they have to close down their business because they were selling paintings that they thought were originals, but they never asked for the provenance. And we are talking about paintings that they are worth $20, $15, $10 million. So definitely you have to have people next to you that can help you identify the provenance, study the artwork, and know exactly what are you doing.
Well, as we get kind of further in the conversation, I wanted to share also actually a quote from Felipe that is also part of the book that speaks to really not only the business side, but also the personal relationship that he had with the artist. And perhaps I can read it quite quickly. It says, "When I met Fernando Botero, I was 21 and dreaming of becoming an art dealer of renown, and he was 54. In his prime, and recognized as one of those rare artists whose work is known on site, over the following 28 years, he became the most important living Latin American contemporary artist in the world. while I was busy in selling over 400 potatoes in the secondary market. This book is about my journey in the art world, the true nature of a dealer's relationship with the artist, and stories about the collectors, galleries, mentors, and thieves I have known along the way. These are my memories that have been woven into the fabric of a truly great life, the life of men who fulfilled a young man's dream of becoming an art dealer of San Remo.
And with that said, I would like to open it up to questions from the audience.
Felipe, thank you for being with us tonight. So my question for you is, what was it about the 13 photographs in your book that Botero didn't like that he wanted you to remove them?
Let's say in 1991, we were in an exhibition in Rome. It was a beautiful experience, fantastic, and then the dealer who presented the exhibition had a wonderful dinner party, and suddenly, I don't know how many mariachis came in Rome at midnight, and he was so happy that he jumped on top of a table with one of his guests and started dancing. So I had a picture with him dancing on the table. He says, forget it, you have to take it out. Another picture was that he invited me with other people to his house in Greece. And we all were in the pool, we were swimsuit, and his wife was next to him, and she didn't like the way she looked. So she said to Fernando, you have to tell Felipe to take that picture out. So those kind of photos I had to take out, personal photos that he and she felt that they didn't look well.
I changed my question now. You said that he donated all of the artwork because he thought he was going to die at 70. Do you think now that he's lived so long, he wished he'd held on to it a bit?
Every time that I have a chance to talk to him about his donation, he is more happy than ever. He has so much money liquid that many generations could live out of this. And the pleasure that he gets to see news that every tourist that goes to Colombia has to stop in the museum and enjoy what he gave.
Yes, we did.
It's very big. Besides, one of the clauses he gave to the government, it was that it has to be free, the entrance. So everybody, no matter from what the social status you come, you are available and welcome to come to the museum. So he taught the countrymen about many artists that he didn't even have access to when he was studying art. He was the first one to bring big names, not the extremely good quality, because when he donated Picasso painting, it cost him like $700,000. Today it's $20-30 million. So he bought paintings that he didn't have at the time to complete names in the collection. And it's the most visited place in Bogota besides the Gold Museum. And he gets a lot of pride out of this. And he still donates. Let's say, with the peace treaty that the government of Colombia did with the guerrilla group just 3 weeks ago, 1 week before the president of Colombia was given the Nobel Peace Prize, Botero donated a sculpture like this one in white to the presidential palace in Bogota as a symbol of peace from him, wishing peace from him to the country. And that was 3 weeks ago. So he still donates.
Can you talk to how the pricing of his art is influenced by the dealer or by the options in the market and how you went about helping to price so many of those works?
He has been controlling the prices since day one. He is the one that tells the galleries at what price pieces have to be sold. The galleries or the dealers like me, we know what percentage we give. And he even tells us what discount are we allowed to give. So the prices have to be strong and maintain a level. Of course, if you bought a painting 30 years ago and you spent $5,000, that to give a number, and today that piece is $100,000, sometimes you put it at auction and you like to take advantage of that. And that's when you see pieces that they come in at auction, but that's when he doesn't have the control, and those pieces might go above that level or below the level. That's where he doesn't intervene. But the first prices that come out of the studio is under his control. I cannot go in the market and ask for something above what the prices he's getting.
¿Cuál sería el consejo que le darías a una persona joven que hasta ahorita está empezando a entrar a, al mundo del arte?
¿En español o en inglés?
En inglés.
Okay. For a young person to start in the art world as a collector, it's very important to be aware of what the galleries that are in your surroundings or the museums in your locality, your location have. So you have to participate in these events so you know what is around you. Then if you get the feeling that you become more interested in the art field, when you travel, you have the chance to travel to other places, look at galleries and museums as well. Definitely that is a nice way to inform. There's now art fairs all over the world and many times a year that if you happen to be able to just go and absorb what are they showing, it's a nice way of getting information. You will see different price levels for artists and art fairs. There's art fairs that they have works below $10,000 and there's art fairs that have works beyond millions. So depends on your capacity, your level, your enthusiasm. You have to focus yourself where to go without feeling bad that you cannot access to a work that is very expensive when there's many young artists trying to show that they are capable and willing to be good artists as well.
Philippe, do you think the internet has changed tremendously the dealers' concept of pricing and of actually, there was a magic before the internet with art dealing and art dealers and galleries, and now it feels much more commercial.
I kind of agree with you. Is less private than it was. Before I felt that I was like selling a nice diamond piece, nice jewel piece. The information today is out there on the tip of the finger to anyone, which is good as well because it's accessible to the entire world and this is what is going on, not only in the art world, but everything on life. We are going very fast. Just years ago, we were in a different level. Remember, one of my first deals with Europe took place with a fax machine. And I asked the gallery to send me the information. They faxed it to me, it came black and white. And I showed it to the collector. The collector said, I like the image, but I encourage you to tell me more. What about the color? So I said, okay, I go to Belgium tomorrow. I will be there in 2 days, I'll call you, I'll describe the painting to you, and you tell me yes or no. And that way I sold two of their paintings, 1988, 2 years after I began using a fax machine. So that was the thing back then. Today is the internet, and we have to find ways to move around and using the tools that we have in our tips today.
One last question. Sorry, Christopher, there's one over here.
So two more questions.
Two more questions.
Thank you so much for being here. I wondered if you could go a little more deeply into the topic of authentication. Obviously today, with or without a catalog resume, it brings a certain amount of liability that's difficult for some to bear. So in the context of Botero and in general, I wondered if you could talk about whose responsibility is it.
Not everybody has a cartoon resume, and most of these books takes place after the artist is no longer around. So the family, in this case, his family, with the help of other dealers, I don't know who, because he has not said who he will give authority to write a catalog resume and be an authority worldwide after he's no longer around. In the meantime, if you have an artwork by Botero, you will ask the dealer that is selling to you to give you the full provenance and give you the information, and Botero actually give you a signed photo. He will write down obra de mi mano, which means work by my hand. But that could be easily be faken as well. So in this case, you have to trust on the person that is buying the artwork. With the artists that they are alive and with the dealers, the gallery and the dealer is responsible before you that what are you buying is original and authentic.
Felipe, first of all, congratulations on your baby, on your book. My question is to something you mentioned. You said that Botero decides what is that you're going to buy, what is that you're going to sell to your clients. How do you handle when a client asks you on a Botero painting that has this, that, or that? And he says, no, you're not getting this, that, and that. You're getting that, that, and that.
That's what I have been doing. Because for so many times, I ask him for, let's say, Fernando, I would like to buy a bird. I don't have birds. You have to buy a horse. But if my client is asking for a horse, then I have to look around where he has sold horses. So I start calling the other dealers, the other sources. And then if I know collectors who might have the piece, that's when I approach them and make them an offer to buy what they have and what I need for my client.
Well, I want to thank Felipe and Paula for joining us this evening. And the audience for their great questions. And as Felipe said, everyone tonight is getting a copy of the book. So please remember to bring your card to the glass jar that is actually at the entrance of the museum. And thank you and have a good night.
I'm going to send book to each one of you.
So you
just have to fill up the cards with your name. And when we